So thank you very much for finding us in the corner and for an opportunity to talk about the Canadian Public Health Association, reflect on our second century. As I mentioned, I've been chair of the Canadian Public Health Association for almost 2 years. So what I want to do is really to compare a leading national public health organization's approach to action on the determinants of health over an extended time period, and I'm going to be using case examples from then and from now. A little bit about the Canadian Public Health Association. So we are a national, independent, not-for-profit voluntary association. We represent public health in Canada, and we have links to the international public health community. In fact, we, through the work of Jim, when he worked with us, were able to have very strong links with the public health associations that now are part of the Federation. We have a revised vision, which is a healthy and just world, and we also recently revised our mission, which is to enhance the health of people in Canada and to contribute to a healthier and more equitable world. And I'm going to talk about this revised vision and mission later. We are evidence-based, just as the American Public Health Association is. We are for science and we are for health. We are nonpartisan. We are a registered charity, and of course that does have constraints on advocacy. We were founded in 1910 by some white doctors, and they were good guys, though. They were really engaged in trying to prevent communicable diseases and control them. We're also very unique for a non-governmental organization is that we were actually established by an act of parliament. Our federal government actually incorporated us under an act in 1912. The very first Canadian Public Health Association annual meeting was held in 1911, and we've been holding that gathering every year since. So when we hit our centenary, which we chose to be 2010, and I guess it's easy in the hundreds to be able to have a 100th anniversary every year. I guess we could have had one in 2012. But what we did to mark that was we created a history book. And this is an electronic book, and this is like one of the first pages of it. This is Public Health, a Canadian History. It is. It was put together by a remarkable group of our members and historical experts, all friends of public health. And it gave a history of public health from the founding of our country up until 1986, which we all know here was the Ottawa Charter for Health Promotion. And we were able to weave in the Canadian Public Health Association's contributions to public health over that time period, in addition to the progress of public health and all the crusaders therein. So just a little bit about the early successes to give you the context of what we were in the early days. We were instrumental as an association in promoting school-based health services as a means of preventing and controlling the spread of communicable diseases. In 1917, we hosted the very first symposium on national health insurance. It would be 1964 before we actually got Medicare, but we were there. And that's actually pretty fast, considering other countries trying to get universal health care. So that's, again, a real interest in that type of accessibility. In the 1930s, we played a very important role in a decision by the government of Canada to establish a federal Department of Health. That might be a surprise to you, but health is actually a provincial responsibility under the Canadian Constitution with a very few reserve powers at the federal level. So in this history book, we were able to look at the early years. We were able to look at periods of rapid change, which is sort of the sanitary revolution. We were able to look at the founding of Canada's public safety net, which really was when we started to change the conditions of living beyond this sanitary. We were then able to look at health promotion and the determinants of health time periods, everything from motor vehicle safety to fitness, participation, and global public health. And we have 12 great achievements. And so this is all online if you wish to go to our ebook to look at the great achievements of public health and also CPHA's role in some of them. So coming then, you're seeing I use more of the term determinants of health than social determinants of health because I'm actually not able to identify those that are not socially constructed. Even the healthcare system is, of course, socially constructed. So we do now in the CPHA are concentrating on determinants of health action on the health problems of modernity. And we are using the WHO revised definition from 2013 Commission on Determinants of Health. And I just want to point out some unique aspects to it. So clearly we've heard about the social determinants of health, or where people are born, grow, live, work, and age, including the health system. But more importantly is the second sentence, is that these are circumstances that are shaped by the distribution of money, power, and resources at all different levels, and which themselves are influenced by policy choices. This global concept of the social determinants of health is quite important because the Public Health Agency of Canada and Health Canada before it had written a list of determinants of health, and we had 13 determinants of health in Canada, you know, physical environment, social environment, education, personal health choices, and healthcare system, and other European nations or in the WHO Euro would have their own list, and the U.S. had list, and we have moved away from the list, and I think that's an important way that I'm going to be premising some of my the rest of my presentation. So what about the second century since 2010? Our vision and our mission, healthy and just world, and the notion of an equitable society, has really said that our organization is shifting to concepts of equity so that all aspects of promoting health are to improve health and to reduce inequities. We've also evolved our determinants approach, a much deeper root cause analysis, not the superficial, which are all important. You know, cultures determine health, but the root cause, the deeper you can go. We are becoming highly structural versus agentic approaches. So we are not really using much of the mantra of making the healthy choice the easy choice, the kind of agentic approaches, the kind of knowledge-aware approaches. We're actually looking at the deeper structures of that issues of power and about money and resources. We're also not afraid of complex interventions. And so we'll see with some of our examples, we've had to think that the determinants approach is insufficient to attack the problems of substance abuse. And so we have been incorporating harm reduction with our deep action on root causes. We've also, for all the, we have a lot of, you know, a lot of causes, too little time. With every one of the opportunities we have to take a priority and to consider it, we always want to know what is the unique contribution that public health and the public health approach can make to that problem, and that's how we guide our framing. The other thing is that we have seen a great challenge to harm civil society organizations from funding and from other types of censorship. And so we really think it's important that we stand as a role model of a civil society organization trying to influence jurisdictional policies. And that, of course, can lead to some government pushback. So let me take you through some examples. The first example, Frontline Health Beyond Healthcare, it represents a variety of concepts of the determinants of health and our new approach. So the first of all is that it is sponsored out of our corporate sponsorship policy by an arm's-length contribution agreement from AstraZeneca. And this is part of our diversification of our funding requirements in order to be sustainable and no longer be recipients merely of government contracts. It also, this is an atlas, a literal interactive atlas. You click and point, you'll hear some remarkable sort of frontline stories where communities are actually acting on the determinants of health, but it represents a new medium as well of communicating and having accessibility. The right-hand side is our own public health, is return on investment video. We were inspired by the American Public Health Association that did the return on investment. And that's a YouTube download that I just did a picture of. And we had over 10,500 downloads on our English version alone, which is actually not bad for a public health message. The kinds of stories that come from community action are on that that interactive website. You know, everything from the mobile good food market to refugee populations, health literacy, Quebec portrait, and you see that we really do want to continue to have the encouragement of communities acting on the determinants of health and sharing their stories. But I mentioned that harm reduction is becoming an action arena for public health and for the unique aspects of public health can bring to that discussion. And this is what becomes a very high-stakes intervention. So enormously proud that we were granted intervener status in the Supreme Court examination of the safe injection site that had been stopped by the federal government. And we went alone, Jim and I, and a bunch of really important members of the Canadian Public Health Association really worked away from the base of the factum all the way to the Supreme Court day. And we presented, I think, a unique factum on the public health approach and why this was, in fact, unconstitutional in terms of security of person and the right to life and health. And we're very happy that we did win part of a unanimous Supreme Court judgment in favor of safe injection sites. So we, before that, actually, these two pilots, if it doesn't make sense here, why does it make sense when you drive, are sort of toking up. And the Canadian Public Health Association used an evidence-based guideline on cannabis that published in our journal, Canadian Journal of Public Health, and we were actually the face of the pot smoking and driving campaign. So there we were actually, you know, speaking, because we are an organization that believes in the decriminalization of cannabis, but we also really wanted to point out the very harmful practices of driving with cannabis, cannabis use in pregnancy, frequent use, and at young age. Three different position papers that came out, some in December 2011 and more recently in May 2014, we too are looking at the winnable battle, the last 18 or 15% of smokers, and what is that going to take. This position paper was inspired with the Framework Convention on Tobacco as well. Again, the kind of solidarity for not only our own citizens, but for the world. Too High a Cost is a very important position paper that looks at alcohol, because if you believe in the Rose hypothesis of shifting population towards health as opposed to towards illness, the exposure of alcohol has basically gone unfettered since the end of prohibition, and we've been seeing the harmful shift in that. So this is a very multi-level and very thoughtful document on alcohol. The New Approach is a discussion document released in May 2014. It got an awful lot of media where we are engaged in the discussion around harm reduction, decriminalization, legalization, and we've got, and it's all about psychoactive substances. And again, it's a very, very important document that is changing the conversation. We're not only about substance abuse. This was released in October 2014, just last month. We are now interrogating structural violence as a determinant of health. And we are supporting those Aboriginal organizations and women's Aboriginal organizations that are calling for a national inquiry on the thousands, literally, of missing and murdered Aboriginal women who have disappeared from communities, have disappeared working as sex workers, engaged in other street life, etc. And that this is a structural violence phenomenon that needs to be thought of that way. The Prime Minister's response is that these are just individual crimes and we shouldn't be committing sociology. So if you come from Canada, many, many people's bottom of their email say, I commit sociology. So the other area of sex workers in Canada is one of the only occupations that's not allowed to be safe and healthy. And that we actually legislate it so that it cannot be so. So some very important campaigners from the sex trade actually made it to the Supreme Court to say that their working conditions were made unsafe by the constitutional, and it was unconstitutional, the laws against prostitution. And again, the Supreme Court in Canada ruled in their favor. The law that was introduced to replace the prostitution law is totally unacceptable. And so we have actually, as you see, just last month, put our own perspective on, the public health perspective on sex works in Canada. Yes, there's the area of trafficking of women and coercion that has to be dealt with, but also for those that are engaged in the trade, we must make this as safe as possible occupation. So two upcoming topics, November 26th, just in a couple of weeks, we will be approving our ecological determinants of health paper. This is a paper that's taken many years to produce. It actually is our speaking on the issues around climate change, and it actually speaks to public health. So this is the model. We're calling it the ecological determinants of health and how they are so important and they interact with social and economic change and population health. And I think that this will be probably a very, very important document that actually is telling public health what it can do, making it somewhat manageable. Our latest one that is not as far ahead, and again, it's population mental health promotion. Too often, public health talks about mental health in terms of depression screening and access to services, and we are wanting to just change that conversation. What is the public health mental health nexus? What is positive mental health? What is population level mental health prevention? And how can we actually begin with healthy childhood and youth mental development? So in closing, I just want to make it, you all know that public health is very complex and it involves multiple actors and sectors. But for us, the social determinants of health has to be a principled process, and it has to be what is our unique perspective on what can be done, what should be done. We recognize that to be an independent voice in this discussion comes at some political price, and that we also, though, think that the whole Public Health Association movement is vital for not only itself but for civil society, that we fight the good fight now and future generations. Thank you. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Are there any burning questions for Lynn before we go to the final presentation? I just want to share with you that I have to admit, as Lynn mentioned, I was involved in the development of the factum for the Supreme Court hearing, and that was, the highlight of my career at CPHA, and actually watching the lawyer making our argument before the Supreme Court, and then 6 months later when I got a phone call during a meeting, and the Canadian Nurses Association rep was next to me at this meeting, and the Canadian Medical Association rep was across from me, and all three of us had been making arguments at the Supreme Court in favor of this. And we got the text message saying, you won unanimously, and the three of us just stood up and yelled in the middle of a meeting. So that is a highlight for public health. But we shouldn't have to go to the Supreme Court. I think that's the lesson. And it is advocacy, but we shouldn't have to get there, and we've done it twice, and I think it's a lesson for us that we need to be changing the way things are done structurally. So thank you very much, Lynn.